SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell, Coast to Coast.
Have you back on Coast to Coast. I'm Pharrell. We bring in Brian Siano Mafia is with us now to talk fighting. We like fisticuffs on C2C. All right, first of all, I want to start with Errol Spence and Danny Garcia Saturday night at Jerry's World. You and I were there for the Mikey Garcia fight, unless my calculations are incorrect.
We were
down there.
It seems like forever.
We all know what happened. He wrecked his car doing a buck five. And, you know, he hasn't fought since. There's a lot of people that are saying, has he lost his talent? Has he lost his punch? I don't believe any of that. I think the guy took enough time away. He could have fought twice. But now he's finally getting back in the ring. He's taking on a tough customer in Danny Garcia. But we all know Danny Garcia, we've seen him lose recently. I know he's got a great record. He's only lost twice, but I've seen him lose both those fights. And he just doesn't look like the same guy that was the champ at lightweight. Now he's taking on this monster in welterweight. What do you think happens here?
I think Errol Spence has his way with him. You know, I think that this is not a tune-up fight in the sense that it's, you know, some schlub that he picked, you know, and just beat up on. It's not some tin can guy, obviously. Like you said, Garcia's a former champion. He's a guy who has a lot of speed, has some knockouts on his record. But it's really been about, you know, landing more than you. You know, he's going to attack, keep coming forward, and just land as much as he can and outpoint you. And, you know, Errol Spence is fighting him, but he's not fighting him at his best. You know, this isn't Danny Garcia of a couple of years ago. Like you said, he's lost a couple of fights now. You know, he's, you know, not, I'm going to say slowed down a step, but he doesn't seem to be the same. He doesn't have that same power. He's not the same as dangerous as he was previously, but still is dangerous if you don't, you know, come in there right and take advantage of what you need to do and fight your fight. So it could go the wrong way for Spence if he's not ready for this fight, but I agree with you that he's taking enough time off. I think, you know, if he wasn't ready, he wouldn't be getting in there because he's a smart guy. You know, he knew when he was getting in there against Mikey that it wasn't going to be a fight that he was going to, you know, have a chance of losing. Now he's going in there against Danny. He knows this is a fight that he has the upper advantage. He has more power. He's still even a little faster, you know, of course, from what we've seen before. And it's not like as bad as that car wreck was. We didn't hear about him having some, you know, life-threatening injuries where, you know, it took him 6 months to learn how to walk again or something like that. By all accounts, because of, you know, the alcohol in his system, the guy pretty much walked away just with a couple scrapes. So it wasn't a long recovery that a lot of these guys that would, you know, go through something like that would have. So obviously we haven't seen him, you know, to know exactly how he is, if he's exactly the same or close to it. But, you know, you have to assume from all the reports that he's not far off from what we've seen before. And if that's the case, he should have a pretty easy time on Saturday.
Well, here's the deal. He broke several bones in his face and jaw. And so the question is, can he take a punch? Because Danny Garcia can definitely throw bombs and he can hurt anyone. I saw him lose to Thurman. I saw him lose to Porter. And I think, you know, Errol Spence is better than both of those guys, hands down, not even a question. Yeah. The question becomes, will he be able to take a bomb from Garcia, because Garcia's got that left hook. He has the ability to knock anybody out, and he's got a very tough chin himself. I think it's going to be an interesting fight on Saturday night. What did you think of Tyson and his fight with Roy Jones? I got to tell you, I'm still not buying any more of Mike Tyson. I'm not interested.
Yeah, now you got all these guys trying to step up and sell you that they'll get in there, you know, Buster Douglas and Evander Holyfield and all these other guys like, hey, knows what it takes for me to get in there. I'll do it. Let's go fight. And really, that's the last thing we need is to start a trend with this because it was a nice little one-off. It was better than we expected, but it wasn't something you want to see repeated. And, you know, it was a shame that they actually took action on this at FanDuel and these other books, and then they put a draw that was obviously predetermined.
They should have paid me $50 to watch it. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Sports Grid Radio is blowing up. Check out Sports Grid Radio overnights for Ellen Avenge, Sports Rage, Bagels and Bad Beach. You can watch us on our YouTube page. Just subscribe free and search Sports Grid Radio. We're on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Starting January 7th, we'll be on Sirius XM channel 204. Stoked for that and the turn of the new year to get on satellite radio. Really excited about all of that. So Tyson said he smoked a bunch of weed before he fought Jones, and he said it just numbs me. There you go. That was more entertaining to hear than watching the fight. I'd rather watch Mike Tyson smoke weed than watch him box. I loved Snoop Dogg saying that it was like watching his uncles fight at the barbecue. I think that Snoop Dogg was way better than the fight.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And, you know, that says something when you're talking about the commentating over the fight. You had him, you had Adesanya involved in the commentating, and more people were focused on them than they were on the fight. It was better than we expected, but still nowhere near anything that's that entertaining or worth 50 bucks.
And you know you're having problems when the Nate Robinson knockout becomes bigger news than the Mike Tyson fight.
You know what? I could care less about that. You know, I saw the video, of course, but, you know, this guy acting like he's some badass Jake Paul. Like, I don't give anybody credit that's, you know, a internet sensation or a YouTube star. Like, if you now he's saying he wants to be a real boxer, okay, then go fight a real fighter. Don't give me this celebrity, you know, deathmatch boxing type of stuff. You want to prove that you're a legit fighter? Go fight someone who's legit. Stop fighting Nate Robinson and other YouTubers, because I care less.
What do you think of Clarissa Shields, the gold medalist from the Olympics, now going to fight in the PFL?
It's interesting, you know, you get a lot of these women that are crossing over. I guess, you know, they talk about how much money guys make in boxing. It's not the same for women. They don't get put on these big cards or, you know, really headliners unless there's issues with the guys in front of them. So maybe it's a better situation for her to go over and cross over and fight in PFL. Kayla Harrison's doing that. Let's talk about, do we ever see her in the UFC? So maybe they're saying, hey, it's a little more prestige and, you know, taking a little more respectfully in MMA than in boxing for women.
So Edwards Chimaev is not happening on the 19th of December because Edwards tested positive for COVID. And we'll talk tomorrow with Mafia about the UFC fight night this Saturday with Hermanson and Vettori. All right, good stuff, Mafia.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get it.
Well, I'm done with you. On Coast to Coast, we bring in Rick Haro, the sports professor, our sports business legal insider, and you name it, from Harvard, on Coast to Coast Sports Grid and Pharrell on a Bench. Good to see you there, turkey legs. So you were just crying about all your community relation problems down in South Florida with your teams. What do you think's happening here, that the Canes are getting shafted out of an easy win? And then it's going to hurt their chances for a good postseason. And then the Dolphins, you just said they held the Jets to 3 points in two games. What's the problem there? And you're mad that they didn't get to play the Broncos when they didn't have quarterbacks? What's the problem?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. You wake up some days and you're just a bastard to people. That's all. And today I'm just not very happy with life. Why can't the Dolphins play the Broncos when they had no quarterbacks? A week earlier, it would have been great. That's all right. They played the Jets, which is like a bye. And then the Hurricanes, they get Wake Forest wiped off their schedule. Wow, isn't that great? When they played Clemson, why couldn't they have gotten Clemson wiped off their schedule? Anyway, they probably wouldn't have played in the ACC Championship anyway. North Carolina will be their key. They're 7-1 right now. They'll clearly beat Georgia Tech. So the question is, do they beat North Carolina? And probably the Orange Bowl berth is on line with Florida, but who knows?
I think Carver High, that Rick Haro just suggested that I was left in a box at the fire station on a snowy night somewhere in the middle of a big city. All right, let's hit the 15 to watch. Online shopping went crazy during the holiday weekend. In fact, 34C and her friend were in the kitchen the other night, and they literally spent 5 hours buying things online on the, you know, holiday cyber blowout shopping spree. I've never seen anything like it. Everything's coming to my front door if you want to rob me.
Yeah, well, I'll leave that to you and your wonderful wife. But the bottom line is that I don't know who will go to Macy's or Sears is already gone, or any of the retail stores forever. It's so easy now in the sports business too. Sports memorabilia, sporting goods. Christmas is going to be just like that. And the numbers were pretty darn significant. So about $5 billion on Thanksgiving Day, people were maneuvering with their devices to buy. About $9 billion on Black Friday, both up 20 and 21% respectively. So listen, everybody's complaining about the pandemic. Pandemic is not keeping people from shopping, and it's certainly not keeping people from spending money, which is really, really important in the sports business as well.
I could not get my hands on a PlayStation 5 like millions of others that do not have a bot that can sneak in and buy them and then sell them at triple the price, which is what people are doing. The Xbox and the PlayStation 5 are the hardest things to get on that Series X and the PlayStation 5, the hottest commodities going in shopping these days. All right, what's the deal? The venues in California have been shut down by my friend Governor Newsom, who's been on the show many times. They're doing it in New Jersey as well, Rick. I don't know about pro and college sports, but youth and adult sports that aren't NCAA or pro are shut down in New Jersey as of this Saturday.
Well, yes, and also in California, as you know. By the way, one quick thing about your shopping habits. Weren't you one of those guys who would stand in front of the window on Black Friday for that Cabbage Patch doll that you really wanted and didn't tell anybody about? I don't know. It's kind of a weird holiday,
no.
Especially. No? The answer is no.
No, okay. I don't shop, and I don't buy gifts for people. I don't do anything for anyone, ever.
That is a fundamental extension of your personality. I understand that. California. The bottom line is that the Niners are playing Glendale. That's not a bad idea to play their games away, but it's getting really, really bad because not only are the issues related to no fans in the stadiums, as we know, but the practice facilities have to be closed. There's no contact practicing. So it may happen, obviously, in Jersey. We already talked about that. The youth sports shut down. We've talked about it earlier. The adult sports other than football, Ivy League, no spring. My sense is we're going to start seeing a slow postponement of events in January and February. It's a race between the vaccine and the spiking. And I don't know who's going to win because I don't know where COVID goes and nobody knows.
I'll tell you what, I can't play basketball as of Saturday, and I blame Phil Murphy for that. And while I'm at it, I'll blame Cuomo, the governor of New York, because whatever he does, Murphy follows him like a lapdog. Clark County, what happened there with having to pay a bunch of money to Allegiant Stadium? Are they having financial problems?
Well, but listen, it's a two-way hit because it's a $1 billion stadium. The Clark County, which is Vegas, basically floated $650 million of construction bonds. That's an appropriate public purpose. But they had a reserve fund, which is from the convention tax. So the stadium itself doesn't generate any revenue. As you know, they've shut down. The hotel tax in Las Vegas, obviously the collections aren't as high because not too many people are going. So they have to dip into their rainy day fund. There is a rainy day fund that exceeds $30 million. I like that rainy day fund. The problem is the debt service is really, really high. When you build a $1 billion, $2 billion house, your mortgage payment is going to be pretty high. They'll work it out. But just like everything else in the pandemic, it's not an easy deal financially.
About December 18th and 19th, all those conference championship games, that'll be a great two-day stretch.
Great two-day stretch. And a lot of the teams who are not playing conference championship games will get in their ninth or 10th game. And so we have a deal where ABC's got a lot of the games. Obviously, others do. Also, they're not moving them back. We were also predicting that it may be that January 11 is not the championship game, but nobody's making that move. And the semifinal games are continuing to play. Rose Bowl, even though the Rose Bowl parade is not happening, I still contend that if we have significant COVID outbreaks, the football season's not in jeopardy because you just roll it back. That's heresy. Nobody wants to talk about it, especially the NFL. But I do think that there is a legitimate opportunity for that. Why? You've got a lot of indoor stadiums. You've got some time. You got some flexibility. It's not a great situation, but it certainly beats canceling or postponing the rest of the season.
So what is the deal with Peyton Manning? Got a game show on NBC?
I love it. Got a game show called College Bowl. I don't know if you remember because, you know, you're not that old. But those of us who do remember the old College Bowl on CBS in the early 60s and then NBC through 1970, where you had trivia. By the way, for you, not 1960. Stop laughing, okay? That's very, very disrespectful. And so it's like Spelling Bee, like the College Bowl. All of these are significant events. Now, Peyton Manning eligible for the Hall of Fame. He played in the golf tournament. He's all things to all people. The only thing he hadn't done yet is take an equity position in either the Colts or the Saints or the Titans. Any one of those three would be great Peyton Manning fits.
So the NBA and Michelle Roberts got to meet with Pope Francis.
Yeah, that was cool. And she took a delegation with her of a number of NBA players. The Pope really wanted to hear about the NBA's position relative to social justice and economic equality and how the teams and league expressed themselves and the players. Apparently, it was a cordial and lengthy session. A great idea. You know, the Pope has instituted a whole lot of reforms from his perspective as well. He's also a tremendous Argentinian soccer fan. So the life and times of Diego Maradona.
So tell me about, respectfully, I have under a minute, the UK, they're going to allow fans back into the EPL games. And then they had to take out a bunch of money to solve their financial woes in England.
Well, here's the deal. They've tiered the access to the stadiums, 4,000 fans, tier one, then less, tier two and tier three. So they were going to have a lot more, decided to have a lot less. They used to have none. So that's good. But the idea of a winter sports reserve fund in the UK, something we should learn about here. Rugby, soccer, tennis, all of the sports in Britain are getting a subsidy, low interest loan, bailout, something we're going to do here. Yankee Stadium built with public money or helped with public money after the Spanish flu epidemic. Orange Bowl, same way. We structure money for stadiums. I'm going to start that campaign right now.
All right, tonight on the bench, we'll have Rick on the radio side talking about what could happen to the NHL's plans to start their season Jan 1. That could be in jeopardy. All right, I'll see you tonight, Rick.
All right, man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I'm watching this game. It's incredible. North Carolina's up 3 on Stanford in the second half. And, you know, there's still a lot of time left in this game. It's 44-41, but it's very violent. The game's very physical. There's been some technicals thrown. I just saw a player for Stanford snap on the ref, and they teed him up after a dunk. I'm loving this college rack. I was just saying to the boys, I don't care if it's NBA, college, high school, AAU. The more the merrier. I love watching basketball. It's just awesome. And I have been to Lahaina, by the way, in Maui. And I don't know why I ever came back. I got to tell you, that place is awesome. Kahanapali, Haleakala, Bagalulu, Mahalo. Check it out.
It's like they always say, Scotty, you can't live in those places. It's nice to vacation there, but you get bored living there. All year round. I mean, you wouldn't want to. I know you're probably right. Let's go back.
Are you kidding me? I go, wait a minute, stop. Now listen. If I took you down to the pipeline on the North Shore and you saw some of the recruits I got out there in G-strings, there would be no talk of going back to Strong Island. Okay,
no,
thank you.
Probably not. And I kind of wanted to go there and never go back after last night's NFL game. Seahawks beat the Eagles 23-17 on Monday Night Football. A garbage time Hail Mary and 2-point conversion for the Eagles completely ruined the Knights of Bettors that had the Seahawks -6.5, which Scotty includes yours truly, who last night doing Pharrell on the bench with Mafia. If you want to go back and take a listen, I was not happy whatsoever with the one-handed Hail Mary catch and then Doug Peterson going to two. I had people tweet me this morning articles about why you go for two in that situation, and I immediately blocked those said people on Twitter after they sent it to me. Instead of me crying, we'll get to the game now. Like we said, 23-17, Wentz was awful again. He now leads the NFL, Scotty, with 15 interceptions. He had a really bad one in the fourth quarter last night with about 8 minutes left to go. Here he is after the game, Scotty, and he wants you to believe, he wants everybody to believe, at the Eagles, and he's, you know, kind of right. They're still in this thing.
We're frustrated. You know, we're frustrated. I know I'm frustrated. I hate losing. And, you know, it's very frustrating to have this result, you know, these last couple of weeks and to be where we're at this season. But the crazy thing about this league and this division especially is it's still wide open. And guys know that. Guys know that. And, you know, we're looking ahead to next week, getting this thing turned around and getting it going in the right direction and hopefully, you know, surprise some people.
Yeah, that's not happening, Carson, because you're awful. I mean, it is unbelievable how that guy has gone backwards. I mean, when I'm watching, like at one point I wanted to like tweet something out like, what has happened to this guy? He is atrocious. And then you don't want to say that because anything could happen in an NFL game and you could say, oh, this guy sucks, and then he comes back and wins the game. But the reality is that he does. He's been terrible. And I've heard all these excuses. I heard Haro telling him he has no line. You know, I think the Eagles are awful, and they're not going anywhere. They're not winning anything, and he is owed over $100 million, I mean, guaranteed. I mean, they are in a pickle with this guy. But I did have the Eagles with the points last night, and I had Seattle winning, so I was okay with it. I didn't want to get involved in your misery, though. I didn't want to get you all upset. You know what I mean, Carver?
Yeah, let's get to the Seahawks side of things. They now go to 8-3 on the season, Scotty. They take control of the NFC West. Monster game for DK Metcalf. He had 10 catches for 177 yards. Of course, he got stopped at the one on the 51-yard catch, and he dropped a touchdown in the end zone in the fourth quarter. But we don't want to worry about small things like that. DK apparently, Scotty, was fired up that Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, before the game, made a comment to him that he was with Megatron in Detroit and you're not Megatron yet. Schwartz said after or today, I was complimenting the guy. I don't know what his problem is. Here's Metcalf, Scotty. He seemed to be upset about it.
I'm happy. I'm getting a little respect, but, you know, I still got work to do. One of the defensive coaches came up to me and it kind of made me mad that he was like, you know, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. You know, in my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So, you know, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Was that Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, it was Jim. And Jim did a great job coaching the Lions, I got to tell you. He's in the litany of terrible coaches. He's right there with all the greats that have failed in the Motor City. How many times have I said this? They should be banned from national television. They should not be allowed to play on Thanksgiving. That performance on Turkey Day was so abysmal, it put the final nail in the coffin for me. They are, I honestly, the Browns have passed them a long time ago. The Browns are in a better place. They really are. I think Stefanski and the Browns, I respect what they're doing. They're building something. The Lions and Stafford and that organization from top to bottom, the old lady all the way down, is an atrocity. Everybody knows it. I wouldn't want that job if it was the last job on earth. It's a coffin. You get in your coffin when you take that job because the Lions are really the laughingstock of the NFL. That's all there is to it. They're the worst organization. They are the worst.
I will get to them and Matt Stafford in a little bit, Scotty. Ravens and Steelers, since you've been gone, they were supposed to play on Thanksgiving. Then they were supposed to play on Sunday. Then they were supposed to play tonight. And now they're playing tomorrow afternoon at 3:40. -10.5 for the Steelers right now. J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are now going to be eligible to return because so much time has passed since they were put on the COVID list. But no Lamar Jackson. James Conner on the COVID list for the Steelers. Let's hear, Scotty, from our friend, Pittsburgh head coach Mike Tomlin. He says his guys, they're going to be ready no matter when they play this game. Here's Tomlin.
You confident everybody's focus is still where it needs to be, or do you got to bring it back in a little bit?
I'm 100% confident of that. You know, this group was leaning in on a short week, man, having an opportunity to be a part of a Thanksgiving primetime game. Everybody grew up on football on Thanksgiving, man. They were excited about being a part of that. And I think it's a natural response to be disappointed to lose that opportunity. But that's over. And we're getting focused on Tuesday night. Some of our MAC guys are completely comfortable with playing on Tuesday night. So we're excited about it.
Well, now it's Wednesday afternoon. It's even worse. I don't see how this can affect these teams moving forward. I know they're going to move the Washington game. That line's already like 10 or more double digits. And I'll tell you what, I think Alex Smith can cover that wood against Pittsburgh. The question becomes tomorrow afternoon, will they handle 10.5? I mean, I actually was on Baltimore with the points when it was 5.5. I thought it was going to be a really good game. The first game was fantastic, but that was with Lamar. No Lamar, you got RG3. You got to think Pittsburgh should be able to beat them by more than 10.5, the way their entire team is down and out, and RG3 is awful. But I won't be surprised if Baltimore covers the number. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go Steelers win. I'll take the 10.5 and hope that the game's decent. I just want to see a good game tomorrow. The fact that this game's being played on Wednesday afternoon is a joke now to me, that it was going to be Thursday, then Sunday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday. I mean, I don't even know why they're playing it anymore.
Yeah, and you mentioned the juggling of the schedule now, Scotty. Because this game is now going to happen tomorrow, Steelers and Washington is going to be moved from Sunday to Monday. Ravens and Cowboys is going to be moved from Monday to Tuesday. And the unfortunate thing for the Steelers now, Scotty, is they're going to have to play three games in the span of about 11 days. They play the Ravens tomorrow at home. They'll play Washington on Monday at home. And then they'll have to go to Buffalo for the Sunday night game the Sunday after that. So that's a tough stretch for a Steeler team. I know that they haven't gotten to play now for about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, but that's going to be tough for anybody in this situation.
I think both teams cover. I think the Ravens will give them a better game than anyone thinks. I think, because everybody just thinks the Steelers are going undefeated. That's not happening either. I think the Washington will cover against them because Alex Smith played great, and I think Buffalo will beat them in Buffalo. They kicked their ass in Pittsburgh last year. I think the Bills are, as I've said all along, are legitimate, but there's no one like you. I got to just call you out. I've had enough of this. Listen,
oh boy.
I saw you the other day. How about this guy, Carter High? How about this guy, Mafia? This guy, you know, they're 8-3, and he's like a little sluggish today with the, you know, the offense, a little disappointed in the way. Listen, I remember a time when you'd be 8-3, you'd be chugging beer, loving life. Well, I've never seen a team win, and you're critical of the way they play with a team that hadn't made the playoffs in 20 years. When you win, you win. This is the NFL. It win ugly, win pretty, win gorgeous, win drunk, win high, win on roids, win. You're 8-3. Shut up.
I will take bad wins any day of the week when I watch them lose for 20 years straight. What I was saying was, and it's true, if they played anybody else on Sunday because of how stupid the Chargers and Anthony Lynn are, if they played anybody else on Sunday, there's a good chance they might have lost that game. That's how ridiculous the Chargers were playing But you win is a win.
Honestly, though, I don't believe, like everyone else I hear nonstop, about how bad the Chargers are. I don't agree with that. I don't think the Chargers are as bad as everybody thinks they are. They got a lot of talent on that team, and they make plays. I like their quarterback. No, you know, it's funny. Everybody thinks Herbert's so great, but the team sucks so bad. Meanwhile, he's got great receivers. I love Williams and Allen. I like Eckler. I like their defense. They just, you know what it is? Everyone in San Diego knows they hate their guts because they moved to L.A., and that's what that is. There's nothing to that other than you're all, you know, livid and mad that your lover left you. That's what happened. Your lover left you for your best friend, and you're going to hold a grudge forever. You're mad that they left, but they're better than anybody thinks they are. They may not keep Lynn. He may get fired, but I still think that team's got a lot of talent and a lot better than anybody thinks. They can play anybody. They can give anybody a game. They've lost all these games, close games. It's easy to make fun of them because they left San Diego, but they're a lot better than anybody thinks they are. You're imagining things if you don't think they have talent.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, Carver. Hi. Can we take a look at the updated playoff scenarios in both conferences?
Yes, let's start with the AFC, Scotty, where, of course, we have the Steelers on top at 10-0. They are the one seed. They play tomorrow. Chiefs right now, the number two at 10-1 after they dismantled the Bucs, although they did not cover. You know, that game was 27-10, ends up being a 27-24 final in the 3.5 hurt you there. Titans, Bills, and then it gets tricky, Scotty. Browns, Dolphins, Colts, Ravens, Raiders. You're going to have basically five teams for three spots when it comes to the wild cards in the AFC. We left the Patriots on there at 5-6, but I don't think the Patriots really have any shot of getting in. There's your AFC playoff picture right now, Scotty.
So the Ravens, Raiders, and Pats are on the outside looking in?
Yes, Ravens and Raiders would be on the outside looking in right now, especially if the Ravens lose tomorrow, they'd go to 6-5. I believe if they win and go to 7-4, they would move ahead of the Colts because they beat the Colts heads up, but they would have to beat the Steelers without Lamar tomorrow.
I think the only team that I'm willing to squeeze into that seven right now would be the Raiders. I think they laid an egg in Atlanta. It is what it is. But they have played very well against good teams, namely Kansas City twice. You beat them and covered against them in Vegas last week, whatever. So I think they're tougher than most think. I think they'll aren't they playing the Jets this week? I think they'll rebound and beat the Jets. I think they're going to get in. What's that?
Yeah, go ahead. They play the Jets, and they also, Scotty, they play the Colts and the Dolphins in this last month. So the Raiders are going to have a chance to play two of those teams that are in the mix with them, and that can be huge for them.
Yeah, I like them. I will say I think the Colts' defense is very impressive to me. I think they're dangerous. I am concerned about Phillip Rivers. He goes from week to week. You never know if he's going to come out and have a nice sling game or if he's going to come out and lay an egg. I thought last week he looked, you know, terrible, whatever, Sunday. And you just don't know what you're going to get from him week to week. If they don't have their running game going, then they're in trouble if he's not playing well. But that's where I think that, you know, the Raiders could beat them and the Raiders could steal that last spot. I think the Raiders, for me, Vegas is a playoff team. Right now, I'm willing to say that. But there's way too many games left to start predicting these things.
There is. On the NFC side, there's a clear line after the top five. Saints, Seahawks, Packers. I know the Giants are there at four, but that spot is still up for grabs. Rams and Bucks. I think that those five are going to be in, those teams that have seven or more wins. You have the mess that is the NFC East between the Giants, Washington, Philadelphia, etc. And then, Scotty, because the Cardinals have lost a couple of weeks in a row now, they've dropped to 6-5, and all those 5-6 teams right behind them, Vikings, Bears, but Bears haven't won a game in 2 months, and the 49ers at 5-6, they are all now back in the mix for that last spot.
Look, the one thing I've noticed is I'm actually intrigued by what Joe Judge is doing with the New York Football Giants. I think the G-Men, Big Blue have looked very tough and, you know, at least defensively, I think they're getting better, more physical. I think they're in every game they play. I would love to see them come out of the East. Frankly, I'm on to them or Alex Smith. I think Dallas and Philadelphia both suck. I think the team on the outside looking in right now that I'd be interested in, I think Arizona will figure it out and get in. If they don't, it would be the Niners for me because they're capable of, you know, beating anyone when they're right and when they're, you know, playing their best. I think that, you know, what they, you know, they just beat the Rams, right? They can beat anybody. And I think one of the travesties is that they're making them move around and play all these games now in Arizona. I think that could have a negative impact on them.
Yes, and we'll see if it does starting this Monday night when Buffalo goes to play the 49ers now in Arizona. You mentioned earlier, Scotty, they cleaned house in Detroit over the weekend. Matt Patricia out. GM Bob Quinn out. Offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel, he is going to now be the interim head coach. He was all excited yesterday, and so was quarterback Matthew Stafford. Everybody seemed to have a little bit more pep in their step, Scotty, with Matt Patricia now out of the building. Here's Stafford.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Obviously, when we were changing coordinators, you know, who was calling plays and kind of the scheme of our offense changed as well, kind of midseason, which was pretty unique and difficult. You know, I think, you know, I know Bev's going to continue calling the plays on offense. So I don't think much will change there as far as, you know, having to get used to new things. But, you know, each one of these times it happens, you hate to see it happen, but it's a unique challenge. We got to, as players, you know, adapt and obviously get ready to go to work. You know, we've got five football games left, obviously a good football team in Chicago coming up. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think he's terrible too now. I'm done with this guy. He's terrible. He has hit a wall. His wife's more exciting than he is. The things she says about the governor, the things that come out of her mouth are way better than watching her husband play quarterback for the Lions. We've been watching this guy put up all these numbers and just absolutely go off now for years since he's, you know, come out of Georgia and played for the Lions, right? And what have they accomplished besides a steamy pile of dog cable in the backyard? I mean, Matt Stafford is a failure in Detroit, and every coach they've had there is a failure. And I think Fatso was the worst of all of them. I mean, he was just so awful. If he ever gets another head coaching job, I'll keel over, because he looked like dead man walking the entire time he was in Detroit coaching. He wasn't coaching. He was eating. I mean, that was all he was doing, because he didn't coach. And you can say whatever you want about me saying that, too, because it was funny.
You heard Stafford mention the Bears there in that clip. They play the Bears this week. The Bears.
Speaking
of awful, they got their ass beat by the Packers on Sunday night. Now, we like to play Matt Nagy every week, Scotty, because I don't really know how many more of these we're going to have. I think Matt's going to be out of a job in a few weeks, along with Matt Patricia. So it took him 12 weeks, Scotty, but we finally saw a little fire, a little passion from Matt Nagy, Chicago Bear head coach. Here he is for you, Scotty.
Whatever it is, I know this. We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at. Have some personal pride. Have a freaking sense of urgency. Know where we're at. Have some pride into who we're playing for and why we do this. And then go find a way to win as a team. That's my challenge to every single person in that building this week, is that.
And, oh, please.
And so yesterday was flat out embarrassing. and our guys know it. I'm not telling you something they don't know. They know it. But we're gonna step up, and all coaches, all players, and we got five games left. So for us, it's our own personal challenge.
Yeah, congrats. What a speech. They'll beat the Lions. I think that game's at Soldier Field. I like the Bears in that game, but they're both so terrible. I'm scared to death to bet on either one of them, I'll be honest with you, but I'm taking the Bears. I think the Bears are going to have, you know, they know now that everyone's livid. The owners, the McCaskies, the coach, everyone's blaming them. Everyone knows they suck. And if they don't, if that doesn't light a fire and they don't go out and perform this week, then they're going to lose every single game they play going out.
Yeah, I think that you could get a complete house cleaning like we just saw in Detroit. Quarterbacks, coaches, general managers, everything could be out in Chicago. Reports say that Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald would be interested in that job. He'd consider it, Scotty, him coming off a big loss in East Lansing to the Spartans over the weekend. Jaguars fired GM Dave Caldwell. You mentioned the Giants earlier and Joe Judge. They do have a little bit of a problem, though, Scotty. Daniel Jones got hurt in that game against Cincinnati on Sunday. They go to Seattle this week. Very tough situation. Here's Judge. Doesn't really want to give you any idea on if Jones is going to be able to play. Here he is talking about his young quarterback.
You know, I'd say, listen, my approach on every injury is always the same. It's always, number one, can the player hurt it worse by playing? Okay, is it pain tolerance or is there a risk for serious injury? That's number one. Number two, can the player defend themselves on the field, you know, at a level necessary to do their job effectively? So until we can answer those two questions, you know, with absolute certainty, we won't have any answers on what we're going to do in terms of this week. You know, I know Daniel's, you know, going to do everything he can to get on the field. But sometimes as coaches, you got to make a decision to maybe protect the player from themselves and kind of get through their competitiveness.
I mean, honestly, I was watching Colt McCoy play the other day. My daughter throws the ball better than Colt McCoy, honestly. And some of these hacks they got in the NFL playing backup. I know that whole situation in Denver was out of the ordinary, where they brought in the kid that played at Wake Forest. And he was so embarrassing. I mean, it was just
you
so
felt
embarrassing.
Bad for the kid. Like, you felt bad for the kid, honestly. You know,
but it really is amazing, though, that I think league-wide, the NFL has a real depth problem at quarterback. I mean, it is hack city. It is no better than the XFL. It really is. That's exactly what they've got in their backups in the NFL.
No, there have been some really bad quarterbacks that have been playing the last few weeks. It's quite a sight to see. I'm going to skip over Anthony Lynn. We know he did an awful job with the clock. He's still trying to figure out what happened. Forget him. Cam Newton said that he would rather win ugly than win pretty. I do have to get to John Gruden, Scotty, because Gruden is hilarious. As we know, they got absolutely pasted by the Falcons in Atlanta on Sunday. Here he is, Scotty, describing what it felt like to watch the tape of that game against the Falcons. Here's Gruden.
You ever go to the dentist, Vic, and have to have your teeth pulled out? You know, it's pretty much like that. This was tough, man. You know, 4th and 1, we have the ball. We go for it. We get rejected. Next possession, 1st down. We're going to take a shot with an aggressive play action protection. Sack, strip, fumble. Right before the half, we're going in for points. Sack, strip, fumble. Early in the 3rd quarter, we're in great field position, interception for a touchdown. We force a kicker to miss a field goal. We rough the kicker. They end up getting 7 out of that.
I mean, how about the Falcons, the way they're playing for Raheem Morris? But I'll tell you this, Vegas can get it all back to normal playing the Jets this week. I think the Jets are clearly laying down. That's all there is to it. You know, I read these things in the paper. Quinnen Williams having a big year. I mean, how do you even write about the Jets? How do you even, like, do you remember the guy Costello had on the show? I asked him, how hard is it to cover the Jets for a living? I mean, that's a tough job. What do you write about? They're so bad. But I think the Vegas Raiders will beat the Jets.
The Jets, of course, lost to the Dolphins on Sunday, Scotty. Ryan Fitzpatrick played for the Fish. Tua was banged up. Brian Flores did say that even when he's healthy, Tua is going to play. You were, of course, not in last week when they took Tua out of the game against the Broncos the week before. They put Fitzpatrick in when they were down a couple of scores. I thought that sent a little bit of a message that maybe they don't trust the kid yet coming back from a little bit of a deficit, and then he doesn't play this week. I know it was injury-related, but maybe you could see a little bit more of Fitz down the stretch as the Dolphins are trying to get in the playoffs here.
I think the Dolphins will make the playoffs, and I think Tua is the guy. And I'm getting a little stale on the everyone talking about Fitz magic all the time. There is no magic, okay? Thank you.
Right. 49ers, you mentioned it before, they're going to play their next 2 home games in Arizona due to the COVID outbreak in Santa Clara. That also affects, Scotty, the Stanford football team and the San Jose State's football team. Stanford's going to go play, set up camp in the Pacific Northwest. It looks like in Oregon State, I believe. So Patriots placed Julian Edelman on the COVID list. Sean McVay said he never considered benching Jared Goff. I mean, look, you can't bench Jared Goff. I know that they're 7-4. I mean, let's calm down with benching Jared Goff.
They're a good team, and he's a good quarterback, and McVay's a good coach. There's nothing wrong with the Rams. I mean, have a beer and a smoke. Chill out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I can't wait for Saturday night. This Saturday, December 5th on Fox Sports, PBC pay-per-view. We finally have a kick-ass fight. The WBC and IBF welterweight champion Errol Spence, the truth, taking on 2 division champ Danny Swift Garcia in the main event from Dallas, Arlington, Jerry's World, going to be rocking. These two are going at it for 2 welterweight titles. Not only that, but also best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. The pay-per-view begins at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, with 3 exciting matchups featuring all Mexican and Mexican-American fighters. This is the first time we're seeing Spence since he crashed his car in Dallas, his hometown, a little over a year ago. He's finally getting back in the ring and taking on a monster out of Philadelphia, Danny Garcia, and his crazy trainer father, who has a gigantic mouth. He can sell any fight, and they're getting fired up for this one. A decent undercard to rock with a killer main event. Spence, Garcia, Fox, PBC pay-per-view this Saturday night from Arlington, Texas at Jerry's World. Call your cable operator and order the fight. You're going to love it. The Rangers are shopping Lance Lynn. The Cubs will tender a contract to Chris Bryant. He'll be an unrestricted free agent after next season. The Mets and Yanks are in the mix for Francisco Lindor. The Reds also are interested. Baseball announces an MLB draft league. I don't know what that is, the wooden bat league they're talking about. Royals signed former Nats outfielder Mike Taylor, George Springer, and James McCann also on the Mets radar. That's interesting. And USA Men's Soccer are going to face El Salvador December 9th in Florida. So Carver Hyde, those are the lingering stories that I had for you. And I see here, I know you're excited, but the Kazakhstani bodybuilder marries a sex doll after a whirlwind romance. So he fell in love with a sex doll and married the sex doll. That is just fantastic.
That is just an incredible story. That's probably, you got to figure, that's probably a lot of paperwork for that gentleman to do that. You know, you don't have, that's wild, marrying the sex doll after a whirlwind romance.
Yeah, whirlwind. I'll never forget checking into Palm Springs with Mafia, and I went to my suite, and there were two blow-up dolls in my room. Dr. Brick says, if you traveled for Thanksgiving, assume you now have COVID. What a lovely way to end the show today. Everybody, careful with the hot dog. I'll see you tonight on the bench. Game Time Decisions up next.